It's the Brady and the Bunch podcast, presented by 101.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back. It is the Brady and the Bunch podcast. It is Thursday, April 4th. I am still riding the high of knowing that my Mariners dismantled the Red Sox. It doesn't even matter what's happened since then. So 3-4 on opening weekend for the Mariners still has me beaming. Joining me now on the Brady and the Bunch podcast, he's become a character on the show. You've been hearing about him in various ways on the text line or in our studio for a year and a half. It's our buddy, intern Lance. Lance, what's up, man?
How's it going, Brady? Nice seeing you. It's been a couple of weeks since I've been in here, but school's going well, and I can't believe 6 weeks until I graduate.
Yeah, so Lance, you are a senior at St. Michael's, and kind of the backstory is you came to us, fall semester 2017. You were a sophomore then, you interned.
Junior.
Yeah. Fall 2017, right, that would make sense. Yeah, junior. So you came to us fall 2017, did a great job, worked with us the whole semester, and then you came back and said, I'd love to keep volunteering. And you actually went away for spring semester of 2018 as a junior. You went to Tanzania. We'll talk about that. Then you came back in the summer and did some summer classes and like, hey, I want to be around. So summer 2018, you interned with us. And then you kind of been volunteering and just hanging around because you just can't get enough of us. Why?
I just love coming in here every once in a while or whenever I can and just helping you guys out, you know. Sports has been my passion ever since I was a little kid, and when I found out that I wanted to pursue a career in sports journalism, I've just been looking for every opportunity since, just to build my resume, to make it as pristine as possible for after graduation. And I feel like interning with you guys, volunteering, whatever I'm doing with you guys, has really like helped me create the portfolio I was looking for.
So you're going to graduate St. Mike's in 6 months. You're going to have a degree in what exactly? Communications?
So media studies, journalism, and digital arts is the program at St. Mike's, but my focus is journalism, and they don't have like a sports journalism class or classes or whatever, but obviously my background is in sports, so sports plus journalism, that's what I want to do.
So you have actually done a lot of journalistic stuff outside of us. You've worked for newspapers in the past. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I started sports writing when I was a junior in high school, just doing some writing for a high school sports blog. And I was just good to get some feet into the door. And it's just really crazy looking back to like high school and just like thinking about like how many experiences I've gotten and to see how much my writing has improved. Because in high school, I was like, wow, you know, like, I've already been reporting for 2 years before going to college. And I thought my writing was good then, but going to college has just made my writing that much better. So I'm really confident with what I have.
And didn't you cover Red Sox minor leaguers? Didn't you cover Cape Cod League baseball?
Yeah.
So you've seen some real talent just on the field.
Yeah. So senior year of high school, I interned/helped at the Sun Chronicle, which is the regional paper in the Foxborough, Mass area, so southeastern Mass. And I was able to cover the Paw Sox, a AAA team for the Red Sox. And I did featured stories on Brian Johnson, who's
with the Red Sox big league club now, yeah.
And I actually did a piece on Ruzney Castillo. And back then, I was like, you know, like, he's in AAA now, but, like, maybe in a couple of years, he'll be a stud in the major leagues, but...
Well, the Ruzney Castillo thing is really interesting, and we've talked about it on the huddle before. I don't even know if you know exactly how this is working, but Ruzney Castillo is a Cuban import that the Red Sox brought in a couple of years ago. I want to say it was 2013. He played with the Red Sox then right away, did not play very well. They sent him down to AAA, and now there's the collective bargaining agreement is new and it's in place, and he's basically stuck in AAA. Because I want to say he had like a $42 million contract, or $70-something million contract to start.
7 years for $70 million.
Yeah, 7 years for $70 million. So, but because he's in AAA, under the old collective bargaining agreement, that doesn't count against the Red Sox salary. You know, there's no salary cap, it doesn't count against their overall against their overall salary figure. So, you know, it's not part of their going over the luxury tax and stuff like that. If they bring him up, it is again. So they have to just stash him in AAA. They can't even trade him, really, because he's got to be put on the 40-man roster to be traded. Or not even on the 40-man roster, but once they trade him, then he's going to become part of the problem, you know, part of the money also. So he's stuck there. But when you met him, he wasn't necessarily in that boat. Now, how does Castillo speak good English, or was that something that you had to navigate?
Yeah, so I went down to McCoy Stadium where the Paw Sox play, and I was like, yeah, I want to do a feature story on Castillo. But obviously, back then, he wasn't fluent in English. I'm not sure if he's fluent now, but he wasn't fluent then. And I was lucky enough to get to know the Paw Sox radio broadcaster.
Okay.
And he's fluent in Spanish.
Who's that?
Will Fleming.
Okay.
And he translated my questions for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Very cool. So what was the basis of the interview?
Well, back then, like, since I was just getting my feet into the door, I really didn't know how to navigate feature stories, and I really didn't know, like, the kinds of questions to ask. So I was just, like, talking about, like, him looking forward to going to the major leagues.
Yeah.
And that just never came about for him.
So now that you're getting set to graduate in 6 weeks, how are you feeling right now? Because I remember how I felt going into graduation. How do you feel?
I'm feeling pretty good. It's just nuts. Like, I'm a big fan of just, like, looking at time and just, like, looking at how time progresses and how things work and how things fall into place. And unfortunately, I don't have anything lined up for now, but I've just been so busy with schoolwork these past couple of weeks. But I know I've been working too hard not to get something.
Yeah. Now, what would be the dream job for you?
My dream job? It would have to be sports writing, like any kind of sports writing. Honestly, like, my dream workplace would be Fenway.
Yeah.
Fenway Press Box, just watching the Sox play. Or Gillette. But obviously, I know, like, I have to be realistic and know that that's probably not going to happen right away. Like, maybe in 10 years or 20 years or whenever, that might happen. But for now, like, I need to just continue getting my feet into the door.
So when you think about, you say you're a big fan of appreciating time. And again, like, so is any part of you nervous to graduate?
No.
No, you ready?
I'm very ready.
Yeah? Because you're over schoolwork, or are you just ready to be out there making money?
I'm over schoolwork, but, you know, like, I'm not ready to make, like, I am ready to make money, but money is not...
That's not motivating you.
It's not motivating me. I just want to start a new chapter in my life, to be honest.
Now, before you can start that new chapter, you got to close the chapter at St. Mike's. And you're doing that because you've got a senior project where you have to write a book. You are writing your own book right now. Yeah. With one of our other old interns, intern Nathan.
Yeah.
So tell us about this book.
Yeah, so part of the MJD program at St. Mike's requires the seniors to either make a film, write a book, or make a web doc. And since I have experience in print journalism, I thought writing a book would be the best bet. And since I'm a big sports fan, I knew I wanted a sports angle. So me and my partner Nathan, we decided to write a book on the fantasy sports industry. And
which is huge. Crazy.
And it's been really cool. It's been really cool to learn all about it. And
from what angle? Like, how fantasy sports have gotten so big? How much money is behind them? What's kind of the basis of it?
So we split our sections into two apiece. So I'm working on two sections. He's working on two others. I looked at gender and the health of it. So, like, psychology and sociology behind
it. So do you find that people who play fantasy sports are happier, unhappier than other people? Are they more stressed out? Like, what have you learned so far?
So I feel like you can say, like, yeah, fantasy players are happier, fantasy players are more depressed. Like,
I know playing fantasy makes me more stressed. That, yeah, I know.
It's such a big, fantasy sports is massive. Like, I think 59 million in the 59 59 million people in the country play. So, like, I don't think it's fair to be like, yeah, you know, like, it makes them happy or makes them sad or whatever, you know?
I am... So, I play a lot of fantasy baseball. I do play fantasy football because we have a station league, but outside of that, I stopped playing fantasy football. And the reason why is because, and maybe, now you've talked to a lot of people in the fantasy world, and we'll get to that in a minute too. Fantasy football to me stopped being really fun because it just got so hard. And I mean, look, it's always a crapshoot when you're talking about fantasy sports, but football to me became so much harder than the other sports because there were so many things at play. Number one, the injury risk is so much more real. So it always felt to me like whoever won in fantasy football just happened to be luckier than everybody else. You know, you can go and have your first round pick get injured on week one and just be done. You know, as we saw that with David Johnson and the Cardinals a couple years ago. So that always bothered me. Then you started seeing things, you know, running backs weren't getting touchdowns anymore because fullbacks were vulturing them. That was 10 years ago. Now you're seeing quarterbacks vulture them. That's where we're at today with things. So now the emergence of the slot receiver. It's like I could have a receiver who's great, and for 3 weeks they do nothing, and then you put them on the bench, and then it's like they're going to go for 10 for 210 and two touchdowns. It became too frustrating for me to navigate, whereas baseball, look, the season is a lot longer. It takes a lot more attention to detail to be good at fantasy baseball. But I think you get a more accurate representation of how good your team is because, one, the players do stay healthier. You have more players in your lineup, so even if you do have an injury, you can overcome it. So baseball is where I've kind of put my money in fantasy. And I'm in four leagues this year. And that's hard to navigate. Four leagues is a lot. I probably would only do two or three if I really was being picky about it. But it makes me more stressed only because it's like, okay, did I set my lineup? How are my guys doing? Now I'm trying to keep up with multiple leagues. Okay, how much money do I have invested in this that I may or may not get back? So I find it to be fun but stressful.
Yeah. And that I feel like it's pretty interesting for you to say because from what it seems like, so many people play fantasy football because it's less of a time commitment, whereas like fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball, it's an everyday grind.
I think fantasy football especially too, people want a reason to be connected, okay? Gambling and fantasy, like, yes, it's great that you might win, but it's the idea of most people aren't gambling to get rich. Most people are gambling, in my mind, to have a reason to watch. Like, okay, I love the Seahawks. What's the reason I'm going to care about the Cardinals and the Texans? Well, am I playing fantasy? Am I gambling on this? So I think people look at it. To me, it's always been like, yeah, I do want to win money, but at the end of the day, I want to be entertained. And how is this going to entertain me? If I have a vested interest in this particular game that otherwise I'd have no interest in, that gives me a reason to be interested.
Yeah, and I feel like if you're already in like a big football enthusiast, like if you're a Seahawks enthusiast, I feel like fantasy football could also lead you to not being as big of an enthusiast as you are. Because like you have other players on other teams and you want your fantasy team to do well, but that means you're having to root for other players on other teams to do well.
That's really interesting. I have definitely... That's another reason why I stopped playing, because I love the Seahawks and I wanted to keep loving the Seahawks. I did not want to start rooting against the Seahawks. You know, for the sake of my fantasy team, I did not want to start rooting for Seahawks rivals to do well just to prop up my fantasy team. Baseball is a little bit different. Again, the season is so long that while I'm not actively rooting against the Mariners, like, okay, if I have a player, you know, like when the Red Sox and Mariners opened up last week, just say. Okay, I had Chris Sale on one team. Now, Chris Sale did not do well. So, it's great for my own fandom that the Mariners hit him around. But if he had come out and thrown a complete game shutout, I could look at it and say, okay, it's only one game. Like, sure. there's a bunch of others. Like, and the one game doesn't matter that much, especially at the beginning of the season. So, I can look at it and say, okay, like, hey, Sale did great. That's good for my fantasy team, but I still wish the Mariners had won. So, I did not like that dynamic in football where there's so few games that you're really, you know, you're hurting your own fandom to just to root for your fantasy team.
Yeah, and I actually interviewed Jack Cordy over at NBC 5.
Our buddy Jack for the TV station, yeah.
And he's a big Detroit Lions fan since he's from the Midwest originally. And he went to the Buffalo Bills Lions game this past December. And he was like, yeah, you know, like, I wanted my Lions to win because they're my favorite team, but it was the fantasy semifinals, and I had a Bills player on the team. So it was kind of hard for me to truly know, like, what team I wanted to win.
Now, who else have you gotten to talk to? Because you've talked to some pretty big names in this process.
Yeah, yeah. I've been really lucky, very fortunate, and I feel like you were definitely a key to that. You're helping me get into contact with Stefania Bell at ESPN.
Yeah, she's great. We've had her on a couple times.
And you telling me, like, it's probably fine to, like, just, like, tweet at Mike Clay.
Mike Clay's a good guy, too. He does a lot of stuff for ESPN Fantasy. We've had him on a couple times. We met him when we were down in Bristol and had him on before. He's really, really sharp, really, really into it.
So when I got into contact with those two, I was like, I could probably get into contact with more people.
Yeah.
So I was able to talk to Dave Richard, the CBS fantasy football analyst at CBS Sports.
Okay.
And Derek Carty, who's a fantasy baseball analyst for, I think he's done work at ESPN in the past. Now he's doing work for, like, Roto Grinders.
Okay.
So those were probably the four biggest names who I talked to. And it was just really, like, cool to talk with them, you know? Like, just talk about them, just talk with them about, like, life, you know? Like, just, like, being a person in the fantasy sports industry. Because I feel like so many times fantasy participants, they go to, like, experts and get advice, but I feel like they fail to see that they're just regular people doing their job.
They are. And, you know, Field Yates, big at ESPN, obviously he joins us every week during the huddle. He's been a lot of fun as well, so, and he certainly knows what he's, doing fantasy-wise, so we've gotten to know him well, and Ken Kreitz at RotoWire, so, you know, we have a good relationship with those guys too, and I've learned a lot about them, and they are just regular guys, so Ken Kreitz will come out for beers with us, which has been fun. So it's the Brady and the Bunch podcast. Here we're talking with intern Lance. Reminder, if you want to be on the podcast, you can message me, Brady, at 1013thegame.com. You can also hit us up to follow the podcast on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts. You can just subscribe to it, Brady and the Bunch. Give us a 5-star rating if you can. It'll help prop us up as more and more people start to learn about the podcast, start to listen, start to want to be on it. And every Tuesday, Thursday, as close to noon as we can, we drop it on Facebook at 101.3 The Game and on Twitter at 101.3 The Game. So, Lance, now let's back it up to this time last year. You went to Tanzania. You studied abroad. My brother studied abroad in Scotland. So I get the appeal of studying abroad. People do it. But usually, it's, I want to go to Paris. I want to go to London. I want to go to Tokyo. I want to go to Argentina. I want to go to some big city in some well-known place where there's a lot of Americans there also, and there's easily to culturally assimilate. Why Tanzania?
You know, the biggest thing I've learned throughout college is you just have to go outside of your comfort zone and live on the wild side a little bit. And I just thought going to Tanzania would present that situation for me. Like, I'd be outside of my comfort zone for sure, and I would be living on the wild side, literally and figuratively. And it was just a really great opportunity, to be honest.
So how does it work when you were studying abroad in Tanzania? Did you live with other American students in a dorm like we would see here at St. Mike's? Did you live with a host family? How did that work?
Yeah, so my program was mostly a field-based program, so you really didn't have, like, a school. We weren't.
So when you say field-based program, what exactly do you mean? You were there doing research?
Yeah, so it was mostly, like, we were on, like, adventures for the most of the time, so, like, going to Serengeti National Park, going to other national parks, and when we went to the national parks, we were camped out. Like, we had tents and stuff.
Really?
And those were the craziest nights because you're in the wild. Like, you're literally in the wild, and nothing's going to stop anything from, like, going into the campsite, you know? So, like, there were nights when there were lions and hyenas and buffalo right outside my tent site.
Really?
And those were the hardest nights to sleep because I was just like,
Were you scared?
I was a little scared, but at the same time, I was like, I'm just part of the Wild right now, you know?
So what's the craziest thing you saw?
I feel like just being out there was just crazy. Like, I don't think I could say one thing was the craziest thing I saw, you know? Just being out there, it's just surreal, you know?
Did you have an advisor with you? Was it someone who came from St. Mike's? Was it someone who is from Tanzania? Like, I mean, someone had to be overseeing.
Yeah, so the program in Tanzania had a staff.
Okay.
And the staff was always present with us.
Okay. What was the biggest difficulty of being in Tanzania?
The biggest difficulty was honestly probably just getting acclimated to a different culture, because the culture there, it's a third world country. We are in a first world country, so it takes some time to get used to being comfortable in a country like that.
So how about language? Was there a significant language barrier?
There was somewhat of a significant language barrier, but at the same time, if you work in Tanzania, it seems like you need to know some English. So okay. Like, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be.
How about food?
Food? Well, I was based in Arusha, which was the third largest city there. So that's in the northern part of the country, and that's where all, like, tourists go to before going out onto, like expeditions to, like, Serengeti or other national parks.
How about what did you learn about their love for sports?
Yeah, their love for sports is pretty massive, to be honest. I didn't think it was going to be as big as it is, because, like, you never hear about Tanzania in sports. But luckily, I did a project in April. So, like, right now, like, last year, around this time, I was doing a project on how soccer influences child development over there. So, like, I was interviewing children who were playing soccer, parents of the children who played soccer, and the founders of the soccer programs. And it was just really, like, eye-opening and enriching to, like, learn just how, like, impactful sports can be on one's life.
Intern Lance with us here, Brady and the Bunch podcast. Remember, if you want to be on, Brady at 1013thegame.com. You can also follow us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating. Also on Spotify, Spreaker, however you get your podcasts. And we do them every Tuesday, Thursday. We release them 1013thegame.com, 101.3thegame on Facebook, and at 1013thegame on Twitter. Would you, like, did this spurn any interest for you to go overseas or go abroad again? Or is it kind of just, that's an itch that's been scratched and now you're good?
Oh, I'm definitely an adventurer.
Adventure.
Like, I'm an adventurous spirit, you know? Like, that's who I am. And if, like, I can't become, like, a beat writer, like, a professional beat writer, like, I could see myself traveling around the world and finding stories about sports and how sports can bring people together.
Now, when you were in Tanzania, and you mentioned you were out, you know, on expeditions and stuff, I mean, what kind of, did you see lions, tigers?
Yep, lions, elephants, wildebeest, just like everything.
Did you ever see any water at any point in this trip?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were there hippos and stuff?
Yep, hippos, yep.
Now, hippos are the most dangerous, I think they're one of the most dangerous animals to humans that there is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. You wouldn't think they would be, like, dangerous. So, like, you just associate them with being, like,
I don't think, oh, hey, there's a cute little hippo, I'm going to go pet it. No, I would think a hippo would be dangerous. Hippos, rhinos, they can be over there, and I'll be over here.
Yeah.
So every week, or every episode, rather, on the Brady and the Bunch podcast, we give the listener / co-host an opportunity to ask me 3 questions. And those 3 questions can be about anything. So, Lance, what do you got?
So, Mariners open 3-4 against the Sox. What do you think's going to happen for them this season, for the rest of the season? They started off well.
I don't think they're going to be very good. I think I said it all along. Low end, I think they win 75 games. High end, I think they win 85 games. You know, they have real major league players on their roster. They have a lot of major league players on their roster that need bounce back seasons. If they get them, if they all play to their back of their baseball cards, then they have an opportunity to be good, right? You know, we saw Jay Bruce hit a couple homers against the Red Sox. We saw Tim Beckham hit two home runs off Chris Sale. He's a former number one pick in the draft. Logic tells you those guys will do what they usually do. And Jay Bruce will hit 248 with 20 homers, and Tim Beckham will hit 250 and not have much power. I would say this. The Mariners are not just going to blow up their future to go for it this year. So if they're playing well, I don't see them going and adding a bunch to do so. If they're hovering around it, they're going to sell off their useful parts and try to get younger still. So I think, you know, it's really just a question of how long will they stay interesting and relevant. And I think the second half of the season will probably be a struggle because they'll go through and they'll bring up the young kids. They'll trade some of these useful. You know, Tim Beckham's on a one-year contract. Jay Bruce has a two-year contract. Edwin Encarnacion's on a one-year contract. Like, so if those guys have no future with the team, they're going to trade them. So if they can get some young, useful pieces, that's what the second half of the season is going to be. So I think they can hang tough and be around it for a while. Then I think some losing will set in, and then I think they'll trade pieces. And their bullpen's awful, as we saw that. You know, they almost blew it three consecutive games in the even in the Red Sox series. So what else you got?
So on this past Saturday, I saw Arnie on Twitter. I saw his son Shay was filming him at Orange Theory Fitness on the row machine.
Yes.
I've seen that Arnie's also gotten like other interns or whoever to film him at basketball. Do you think that helps him get some exposure? Like help him build his brand?
Arnie already has a brand that's built. You know, Arnie is one of the godfathers of sports radio. You know, Mike Francesa gets credited with being kind of like the first big personality in sports radio. Arnie's right there. And people like don't want to acknowledge that at times, but it's true. He's been doing it kind of before anybody else. And he got into it at a time when people weren't, you know, not many stations existed. And so fans have been listening to Arnie for 25 years. And some, you know, in some cases, kids our age have grown up with Arnie, and now they're 50 years old and have families of their own. So Arnie does this stuff as a way to connect with his fans. I don't know if it's to make new fans so much as it is to just connect with the fans he's already got. He does that very, very well, and he has a lot of fun with it. And you know, he's had the career he's had for a reason because he's able to make those kind of connections. And it's very cool to see that. He looked pretty tired by the end of his rowing, though. He looked pretty tired by the end of it.
So I know sports is your career and your number one like interest and passion in life. What are some other passions you have? Like, if you weren't in the sports industry, what could you see yourself doing?
Oof, man. Well, if I wasn't a sports broadcaster, I'd be coaching college baseball. That's what I'd be doing. If it's out of sports entirely and something completely different, I think there is a mouse above us, by the way. I don't know if you can hear this coming through the podcast, but we are doing this in my office, not in the studio. And I think there is a mouse above us, so I'm going to have to try to figure that out. I don't want to say I'm terrified of mice, but I'm a little bit terrified of mice. So I don't know. When you tell me that there's buffalo outside your campsite, this is what terrifies me. I can only imagine you. Anyways, so my answer would be I would not be an exterminator. So if I wasn't in sports, probably something in history. I like history. I you know, I could see myself doing something there, maybe whether it's for a museum or, you know, not a teacher, but a museum, something like that. I could see myself being a sports psychologist. I actually thought about trying to get my master's in sports psychology at one point. That's a field I'm really interested in, a field that I've studied to a degree, read a lot of books in. Again, I utilized it more when I was a baseball coach in college, but it's something I continue to be interested in. I think a lot of the principles of sports psychology are applicable to not just sports, but rather life itself.
Yeah.
So there's Lance's three questions. And Lance, before we get you out of here in just another couple of minutes, your best sports memory is what?
Like during my writing career?
Yeah, no, just your best sports memory. You have been a sports fan for 20 plus years. Your best sports memory is what?
Man, that's hard. Being a Boston sports fan.
I know, yeah, it's really hard to pick just one, isn't it?
Just picking one, it's hard. But honestly, I think if I had to pick, one is super hard, so I'm going to go with two. When the Celtics traded for KG in 2007, because I became a fan during the 06-07 season.
Okay.
When they went like 24-58 or whatever. And I was just like, man, like, it'd be so like cool to have the Celtics be good. And when they got Ray Allen, they had Paul Pierce and Ray Allen at the time. Then when they traded for KG, I was like, this is going to be something good.
Yeah.
And for it to like happen in 1 year for them to become champions, I was like, wow.
If I told you tomorrow, you know, that you could have a job at 101.3 The Game and you could interview one person in sports, who would it be?
That's also very hard. Man.
You could give a few.
Well, I feel like, obviously, like, since I'm just a Boston sports fan, like a homeboy, I feel like Tom Brady, obviously. Okay.
Gronk. See, I don't know that Tom Brady's a great interview.
I feel like Gronk would be really cool.
Gronk would be really cool. I think you got to ask Gronk the right questions, but I think Gronk would be really cool. I saw him once at the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl I went to, the only Super Bowl that I've been to, the Patriots weren't playing it. It was when it was Carolina and Denver. But Gronk was there a couple feet to my left. Big, big individual.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I don't know, because for me, I like talking to like anyone in sports, you know? I really like talking with them and just finding out, like, they really are just your regular dude, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's my passion in sports, right? And just discovering that it's not these guys who are just, like, out of this world, from something out of this world. They're regular dudes just doing their career.
He's intern Lance. You know him also as Lance Reynolds. You can find him on Twitter at @ByLanceReynolds.
Intern Lance.
Oh, you changed it.
At Intern Lance.
At Intern Lance. At Intern Lance. It used to be By Lance Reynolds.
Yep, yep.
So, at Intern Lance. At Intern Lance. At Intern Lance. Because Lance has been with us now for more than two full years, nearly two full years as an intern and volunteering on some other things. He's been around the studio a lot. He's added nothing but value to our station. A lot of times when we play audio on the show, it's things that Lance has gotten. So when we do They Said What, Lance has found a lot of that audio and has done a great job with it. He also, you hear promos that run during the day, during commercial breaks, things like that. Lance has made a lot of those. Lance, you got a bright future in whatever you want to do, if it's in sports media, whether it's in radio, whether it's in writing itself. You've got a work ethic. You've got a drive. Man, it's been a pleasure having you be a part of the station. And 6 weeks from now, you're going to be walking across the stage, man. Happy for you. Proud of you. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you for everything. And honestly, if you have the opportunity to intern at 101.3, I would definitely recommend doing so, and because it's just a great way to connect with people in the industry and just expand your skill set. Before I even came here, I had no radio background whatsoever, but now leaving here and graduating from college, like, I now have somewhat of a skill set in radio production, so it's been great, and I'm definitely going to miss it. I'm going to miss seeing Arnie being Arnie. I'm going to miss seeing Rich at Lake Monsters games and everything, and I'm just going to miss coming in here and doing work.
You also covered the Lake Monsters for us last year and did a great job, really helped us have a presence at Centennial Field every home game, and you were great at it. So, Lance, man, again, appreciate it, and best of luck.
Thank you.